Loving God, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for your word. We remember, Lord, that your word is eternal in duration. It's divine in authorship. It's infallible in authority. This morning, Lord, we gather around your word. We thank you that your word is life to us. It's a light to us. And Lord, we pray this morning your word by your Holy Spirit would change our lives, that we might have a closer walk with you. So Lord, sweep amongst us. Have your freedom to work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you turn to Matthew chapter 9? And we start at verse 9. As Jesus went on from here, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Is this rattling? Thanks, Terry. thank you. Is it not on? Right. Thank you. Right. Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Thanks be to God. Amen." It was 1965 when I got my first car, a brand new Mini PKX 182D. Sadly, some months later, my car was written off, and as far as I know, the car ended up on a scrap heap in a car breaker's yard. The point is, cars have a life expectancy. Accidents happen, engines die, the bodywork can rust, and models go out of date. So we trade in our cars for something newer. And in today's fast-paced world, we've also come to expect frequent updates and upgrades for our phones, computers, and other useful appliances. Yet when it comes to doing church, there can be resistance to upgrading and renewing. Many churches just expect to continue as they always have, year in, year out, thinking the world will want to pile into their 1965 Mini and enjoy a retro ride. But in Matthew's Gospel, we find conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders because Jesus had come to show that the new was better than the old. The trouble was that many people just could not accept the fact that Jesus was really who he said he was. And when Jesus didn't fit the preconceived ideas of the pious religious authorities, he was rejected. Jesus said they were like old wineskins that were dry, cracked, and inflexible. And so the new life, the fresh life, the new wine that Jesus had come to give simply could not be poured into the old wineskins of tradition, prejudice, pride, and false ideas about the Messiah. And it's the same for us today. For even if we are attracted to the new wine that Jesus offers, and yet we are still holding on to our old lifestyle, our old attitudes, our old ways of thinking, our old habits, our old ideas, then we'll soon discover that the completely new cannot be mixed or merged with the old. Today it's hard to imagine what it's like to carry wine in a wineskin. But in Jesus' day, it was normal for people to use a goat skin or a sheep skin, which had its edges sewn together to make it into a wine container. The benefit of a new wineskin was that it could stretch and accommodate new wine as it underwent fermentation and expansion. But it was Jesus who warned about the danger of old wineskins that were cracked and brittle and would burst under the pressure of new wine. Many churches today do not have a fresh new work of God in their midst, because they are still carting around old wineskins. And so God won't do something new and vital in their congregations because their old wineskins, their old brittle attitudes, their old traditions, their cracked, clapped-out ideas are simply not adequate to hold the new wine God wants to give to them. When Jesus speaks about wineskins, they are meant to represent us, the church, the family, and the individual. Those who are like old wineskins enjoy what's familiar to them. They aren't willing to exchange what they find comfortable for something that can only be done through faith. Old wineskins live for self. Old wineskins control. Old wineskins try harder. Old wineskins live according to stereotypes, and they are rigid and brittle. On the other hand, those who are like new wineskins live for God. New wineskins have a readiness for the things, the new things of God. They trust. They live in freedom. They live in newness of life, and they are flexible. And if any of us feel the need to pray for revival, have we been honest enough to first look at the state of our own wineskins? Back in New Testament times, under the ministry of Jesus, change was coming when God's Holy Spirit, the new life, the new wine, would be placed in each believer individually. And to precipitate this change, a new body, the church, would be formed. Yes, Jesus was coming, not to repair or reform old religious practices, but to establish a new covenant. The new wouldn't simply improve the old, it would replace it. And as we turn to our text in Matthew 9, we find that Jesus invited Matthew the tax collector to become one of his disciples. When this happens today, the first thing we are inclined to think and believe is that we can share this new life of Christ by simply living a good life. But Matthew wasn't satisfied to simply live a good life. His life was changed, and it was never going to be the same again. He was like a new wineskin with new wine. And so when this new wine began moving and expanding in Matthew's life, the first thing he decided to do was to host a dinner party in his house. It would be a great celebration, and all his friends would be invited. What kind of friends would a tax collector have? Other tax collectors, of course. And of course, Jesus was invited because Matthew wanted to introduce him to his friends. However, the Pharisees were in high dudgeon because this was not the kind of party they would expect a devout, religious, observant rabbi such as Jesus to attend. For those who were really serious about knowing God, the Pharisees had instituted various regulations, including an obligatory fast that was held twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. And when they fasted, the Pharisees would doctor themselves up, not combing their hair, throwing ashes over themselves so they looked like death warmed up. And they put on a gloomy face so everyone would know that they were fasting. For the Pharisees, the mark of real godliness was a form of austerity and severity, long faces and heaviness, and a somber spirit. And with all this solemnity going on, where is Jesus to be found? Well, he's with Matthew and his friends enjoying a dinner party. It may well have been that this party was held on a fast day, a Monday or a Thursday. And so the Pharisees demanded to know what Jesus was doing, eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. Then in verse 14, we find John's disciples are in cahoots with the Pharisees, for they also ask Jesus, "Why do we fast and your disciples don't fast?" What they're really saying is, "How come your religion is so different from ours?" Even though the Pharisees and John's disciples were appalled that Jesus and his disciples were feasting and partying with Matthew on what for them was probably a day of fasting, yet we find Jesus making a point. And to hammer it home, he uses a wonderful illustration to contrast dead legalist religious form with the liberty, joy, and grace that is found in Jesus. And so in verse 15, Jesus answered John's disciples saying, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast." Here Jesus uses the Old Testament idea that God's love for Israel is like a bridegroom's love for his bride. The ministry of Jesus is therefore like a wedding feast because it marks the arrival of God's love in a new and intimate way. This was a time for joy and celebration, not for fasting and mourning, but for feasting. Yet at the end of verse 15, Jesus warns that a time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and that will be a time for grief and fasting. Fasting, almsgiving, and prayer were major expressions of Judaism. But the Pharisees in particular had turned these into ostentatious routines for everyone to watch. These external outward rituals were the substance of their religion. And what they were really saying to Jesus was, how come you don't do what we do? How come your approach is so different? And thanks to tradition and legalism that was imposed by the Pharisees, the Jewish religion had in many respects become a burden and a joyless thing. Even Jesus said there were rules and regulations that were impossible to obey. Matthew 23, verse 4, Jesus said, the Pharisees tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. The tragedy was, these fundamentalist Pharisees had the letter of the law without the power. Or to put it another way, they knew their Bibles, but they didn't know their God. And we know this to be true because when their God turned up in human flesh, they did not recognize him. But Jesus was doing a new thing, for he did not come to do a patch-up job on the religion of Judaism. It needed something new. There needed to be new wineskins that could hold the power, the vitality, the richness, the intoxication of the new wine from heaven. And now Jesus moves to his second illustration, the tailor's shop. In verse 16, Jesus says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Here's the point Jesus is really making. You can't treat me like a patch on the tarred old garment of your existing life. It simply won't work. Don't we treat Jesus like that sometimes? We think of ourselves as essentially sound. I'm essentially a good person. That's what we think or say. I've got most of it all together. I'm doing pretty well. But there are a few rips and splits in the garment here and there, a few threadbare spots. And I really could use Jesus to patch them for me. But as for the rest, I've got it covered. And Jesus is saying that just won't work. It will not work. In fact, if you try it, the fabric of your life will only tear still more dramatically. You can't patch Jesus onto the threadbare, tarred old garment of your existing life. You can't have it your way and have Jesus also. To his hearers, Jesus was saying that his was a new way of life and he would not be a part of the old Jewish tradition. Jesus refused to be a patch on the old traditions because he was a new garment and you can't mix the two, the old and the new. From the tailor's shop, Jesus finally takes us to the wine cellar, where in verse 17, Jesus says, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Notice that the Lord makes a point of saying new wine, not just any old wine, but new wine. New wine is new. It's this year's harvest. It's the latest wine on the scene. The ministry of Jesus is the cutting edge of what's happening in the spiritual realm. And Jesus speaks of wine as though it were somehow still alive. Even after the grapes had been harvested, crushed, and contained, that new wine was still growing, fermenting, expanding, and performing its dance of life. This new wine is the joy and the power that Christ brings. And as it ferments, it gases, it bubbles, it expands. And so the new wine needs a new wineskin that is flexible and can expand. So dynamic is the new wine, the new life in Jesus, that the old wineskins of previous religious forms and structures must give way. And that's why we have the Christian church today. That's why we've had revivals, because people broke out of tradition when the new life pushed it out. What did Paul say to the Corinthians? He said, if anyone is in Christ, he is, that's it, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In other words, we're not to look back on the supposedly good old days, but forward with anticipation to the kingdom of God. Last October, I was invited to the induction of a new minister at Castle Hill United Reformed Church in Ipswich. This church has a close relationship with a church in Germany, and every year the two churches alternate in visiting each other. The German pastor came over for the induction, and during the service, he made a presentation with a gift of 4 bottles of German wine to the minister being inducted. And in the moment, I did wonder whether 4 bottles of alcoholic wine in a church setting was appropriate. But then the German pastor said the gift was a reminder that God had new wine to give, and all that was needed were new wineskins to hold this new wine. And that's right, for we need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and revitalize us so we don't grow hard or stale. Some Christians miss the simple fact that Jesus came to bring us something completely new, and this new thing will ultimately do away with stale, old, empty religion. A long time ago in the wilderness, the children of God were warned not to eat yesterday's manna. It became a seething mass of worms and rot if not used in time. So it is when Christians refuse to partake of new things that God is doing. The old is not good enough. It is becoming rotten. It doesn't sustain the same degree of spiritual life. We must enter the new. Pick today's supply of manna from heaven and enjoy the God of new things. The Holy Spirit is always doing something new. God is the God of the living, the God of now. He has something for every generation. He is forever raising up new moves of the Spirit, pioneering new things, initiating new thrusts into uncharted seas. And so we have to leave the Holy Spirit room to work in our lives. We have to give him the liberty to do what he desires in our church. Every Christian should experience liberty and joy, for there is a wedding joy with Christ for those who will have it. A feast, not a famine. New clothes, not patched up rags. New wine in new wineskins. Even though Jesus had so many new ideas and new conceptions of the truth, he realized how difficult it would be to get people to accept these new things. So he used 3 illustrations by taking us from the wedding reception to the tailor's shop to the winery of new wine so anyone could understand. Jesus was a new way of thinking, a new way of acting, a new way of living, and a new way of thinking about God. The old tradition said that God was law, but Jesus said God is love. The old tradition said, do this, but Jesus said, be this. God has a new thing he wants to do. He's got new wine he wants to pour into new wineskins. Are we willing to leave the formalism of dead religion and know the joy of the Lord, which is our strength? Are we willing to stretch? Are we willing to trade in the old for the new? New wine is better than old wine, for there is power in the wine. For where there is power in the wine, there is growth in the wineskin. In Luke's gospel account, one final statement is added when Jesus says, no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. Those who are satisfied with what they already have will not be willing to drink the new. Those who like business as usual religion will resist the rocking of their religious boats. The person who is content in a time of spiritual decline will not be happy in a time of revival. The two conditions are totally contrary to each other. So for you, is it the new or is it the old? If we want to be able to receive Jesus' teachings, we've got to become new wineskins. If we want to be able to receive and embrace new revelation from God's word, we've got to become new wineskins. New wineskins equals a new readiness for the new things of God. Do you want to be a new wineskin? If you do, here's something you should do. Stop drinking and stop enjoying old wine. People remain like old wineskins because they still enjoy old wine. They enjoy what's familiar to them. They can't leave their comfort zones. They aren't willing to trade what they find comfortable and trustworthy for something that can only be done through faith. If we want to be a new wineskin for God's new wine, we need to cast off the old and embrace what God has in store for the future. Remember, our God said, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Don't be afraid to keep moving on, for what was before has now gone. God wants to accomplish so much more, but we need to move forward in the Lord. What is old must be renewed by the Spirit. What is outdated must be remodeled, and what is ineffective must be replaced. God wants to do a new thing. Don't resist it. Old wineskins need to be cleaned and then soaked in oil until they are rejuvenated to their original supple and soft state, ready for the new wine. Likewise, a person can soak themselves in the presence of God, in worship, in the word, and in prayer. Then in due time, a fresh anointing will be released. I believe God wants to do a brand new thing, and he is calling us to be real, to be clean, to be uncluttered. He is calling us to make room for the new wine, and for some of us, it's time to chuck the junk. It's time for change. There's going to be some shaking an unraveling of things in this season, because God is in the business of making all things new. Would you join me and cry out to God in this place, Lord, come, do a work in me, and do a work in us, and do a work in our land. Lord, I pray for each one of us here right now who is engaged with you by faith. And in the mighty name of Jesus, release us that we might know freedom and vitality and life and healing and wholeness and health. Whatever it takes, cleanse us and fill us to the full with the Holy Spirit. Those rivers of living water, that they would flood out from us to this world that is around us. Lord, we cry out together this morning, and we thank you for the former things. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for the history. We thank you for the heritage. But Lord, we say, do a new thing, and by the oil of the Holy Spirit, change us into new wineskins, so we may receive your new wine. Lord, how we need something new. Come and revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Today I'm stepping across the line. I've made my choice and my decision is settled. I'm abandoning the old wineskin and trading in for the new one. New in Christ Jesus is better, and I'm going God's way, and there's no turning back. I will live the rest of my life holding on to the new wineskin, so the new wine and Lordship of Jesus Christ can be poured into my life. I will use my life to celebrate his presence, rejoicing in the excitement and joy that Jesus brings. I won't be captivated by old wineskin ways of thinking, old wineskin habits, old wineskin religion, or anything that isn't useful to a living relationship with Jesus. Since my past has been forgiven, and I have a purpose for living and a home waiting in heaven, I refuse to waste any more time or energy on shallow living, thoughtless doing, useless regretting, hurtful resenting, faithless worrying or resisting any new move of God. Instead, I will be like a new wineskin by allowing God to have his way with me, putting to death my selfish pursuits and goals, leaving only the desire to be his hand extended. I know what matters most, and I'll give it all I've got. I'll do the best I can, always ready to contain his outpouring. To my Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, I say, however, whenever, wherever, and whatever you ask me to do, my answer is yes. Wherever the new wine-filled life leads, and whatever the cost, I'm ready. Anytime, anywhere, any way, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, because the new is better than the old.